So, what exactly are miners going to be validating with respect to identity blocks and the TSN references therein? And separately, what are Root's responsibilities as a content creator on the Truth Social network? Two different things. So here's the way I'm thinking about it right now, and nothing is final yet, of course, but basically, anything that could be validated in and of itself by future generations will stand alone, and we're not going to waste the miners' computational processes and so forth in having them validated. Because, in other words, digital signatures are stand in and of themselves, right? So 3 years from now, if you look at my identity blockchain at any particular reference, you're going to be able to see that the signature checks out. And so why do I need to have a miner validate that? I'm not going to be doing a TSN, I'm not going to be making an identity blockchain or historical record if I didn't want to prove that it's coming from my pseudonymous identity, right? So I'm going to be digitally signing references as Root. This is going to be part of Root's responsibilities. But again, what miners need to check and what Root's responsibilities are two different things. So miners are going to check, as I see it, a few very basic things, right? And similarly, by the way, any occurrence proof, whether it's one of the two old time stamps, namely in the clout base reference or identity block header, or one of the newer time stamps, which is going to be all the references in between using clout chain occurrence proofs, will stand alone in and of themselves. And it's not a huge deal if they happen to be. Then you don't have to worry about, well, it was a valid proof, but there was an orphan or the chain forked and it became invalid, and how that could affect things above. You don't have to worry about any of that, and we're going to get into why, as Root, you're going to do the best you can, regardless of the fact that miners are not attesting to this. So, in other words, why have miners attest to things that can be universally attested to at any point in the future and observable by anyone, right? So let's look at this from two perspectives, right? First, let's look at it from a cloud chain miner's perspective. So you're a cloud chain miner. Root has just proposed an identity block. So you see, your software picks up that Root has done a transaction and it identifies through the encoding that this is a proposed identity block because it has that particular prefix. And so the first thing it's going to do is it's going to look at the block hash of the proposed identity block, and it's going to compare it to its identity block chain's tip. And so it's going to see that, yes, it matches this newly proposed identity block tip block, right? In other words, the hash is correct. So, first test passed in terms of evaluating the validity of this proposed identity block. Next, the cloud chain miner is going to open up the file of the proposed identity block, okay? And the first thing they're going to do is the cloud chain miner will check that the signature verifies for the cloud base reference. So they're going to make sure that there is a cloud base reference, right? And that's going to be the first reference of a block. And then they're going to check that it's a valid TSN reference and that they're going to check the digital signature came from the content creator's TSN address. And so the fact that it's in the block is in and of itself the second out of three aspects of a valid reference. Now, from their perspective, that's probably going to be enough to say that it's a valid TSN reference. The third aspect would be, did it come from a valid account? So I think that in reality or in practice, this is actually going to be more of Root's responsibility in terms of that third aspect. In other words, Cloud Chain Miner's just checking it's a valid signature, the cloud base reference exists and it's in the block, obviously. So the next thing they're going to check about the cloud base reference is that it contains the transaction, or I should say references, right? The transaction ID of the previous accepted identity block, right? And then the last thing they're going to check with regard to the cloud-based reference is that its timestamp, and what I mean specifically is the third timestamp that Root produces, right? They're not going to care about the Bitcoin and Litecoin information. They're just checking the third one, and they're going to make sure that that is more recent than the timestamp of the previously accepted identity block that's within that transaction ID, right? And then finally, the cloud chain miner is going to validate the identity block header. And so he's simply going to make sure that the identity block header references the previous identity block hash. And voila, he has validated the identity block. And so his software then is going to prepare to be in accordance with the six block differential rule, right? So it's going to basically say, well, when I'm working on, solving a block 6 blocks from now on the cloud chain, I am going to have this updated, cloud-based transaction, which, signifies my acceptance of the previous identity block, as I know that everyone else will be doing, their software is going to be doing the same to remain in consensus with the rules, right? And so, we have a lot of new terms and moving parts, so it sounds complex, but it's really not. So, in order to validate an identity block, it's pretty simple. You just make sure that, you have the right block that's being proposed by comparing it to, the transaction by Root. And then you're opening up the block and you're making sure there's a cloud-based reference. It has a valid signature. It references, the last, the transaction ID of the last accepted identity block. And, the timestamp is more recent than such. And then it just validates the identity block header, ensuring that it has the previous block hash of the last identity block. And that's pretty much it. It has all the information it needs, and it knows, I better have good timestamps because the subsequent cloud chain block, that comes right after the proposed identity block, as a rule of consensus, must have a more recent timestamp than the identity block's header timestamp, which again is based off of Bitcoin and Litecoin occurrence proofs, even though the miner is not checking that, right? So, to further help bring some clarity to understanding this, if you haven't already, there's basically three different aspects to consider here. Root is first proposing a block, and we're going to get to Root's responsibilities by adding it to his master database, his identity blockchain, which all the miners have. But him doing that is not officially proposing a block. The exact time at which a block is officially considered proposed is when his cloud chain transaction as root is confirmed by the network. So once that transaction has one confirmation, the block is officially considered proposed. With that being said, these few simple rules make it easier to ensure pretty much instantaneously, fairly instantaneously, whether or not a block is valid. So there's when is a block proposed? Well, after a confirmation, right? When is it valid? Well, it's valid, after you've checked that these few things are present, right? Then there's when is it accepted? It's accepted officially after six blocks after that proposal transaction, right? So even though it's technically not accepted until six blocks later, everyone knows that who's mining knows that it's valid because they've done the checks. So they also know they'd better have the block after that proposal in the cloud chain have a more recent timestamp than the identity block times identity block header timestamp, right? So anyway, if the miners are only validating these very few simple rules, simple in their application, right? And Boolean, right? There it's very easy. Well, it has these things. It's valid or it's not, right? Where did all the other rules go, right? Did they disappear? Well, no, they're still there, but they are just not a part of the strict miner consensus rules because when you think about it more deeply, they really don't have to be because there's really no added value of having the miners attest to those things because you can't, as root, you can't change history. So, you're either following those other rules as your responsibilities as root, or you're not, and that can always be seen when looking at your historical record if you were or if you weren't, right? So root's responsibilities are still going to include following the block time limit rule, because that ensures that identity blocks are pretty much proposed as frequently as you're making content, right? And you're still going to have to do timestamps on all your references. And there's two different types. There's the cloud-based reference and identity block header type of timestamp, which is what that's the old one with Bitcoin and Litecoin. And then all the other reference, you're still going to do occurrence proofs using the cloud chain using the cloud chain timestamps, which we know are going to be more reliable due to the rule we just implemented, right? And further, you're going to be digitally signing all of your other references that are going in that block, even though miners aren't checking those other ones. They're just checking the cloud-based one, right? Cloud-based reference signature. So it's like, as root, you want to have a healthy system and reliable timestamps in the cloud chain. So you're going to definitely keep your miners honest. And you're by doing, valid Bitcoin and Litecoin occurrence proofs, and you're also going to still do valid signatures in all your references, as well as valid cloud chain timestamps, because you want history to show that it was you fucking making the content, and further to be able to have these very specific gradations of proof of time in your publishing. I mean, the fact that it's in anything in the block in and of itself already has a proven time that's attested to by the miners as this long interval between one identity block and the next. So you can know for a fact that anything that is in there was produced in that time. The thing that fine-tunes it is you providing these occurrence proofs throughout, which anyone could view in posterity, and then you could say, "Oh, look, I made this great prediction," and you could prove that, you have the timestamp and everything. Otherwise, it's like, all right, well, we know it was in this interval of time, but you didn't include a valid timestamp. Or if it doesn't have a good signature, do we really know you wrote it? Well, we kind of do because it made it into a block and you basically vouch for it by proposing that block. But you want to have you're gonna be doing signatures on all references, and you're gonna be following the 3 out of 3 rule as far as where the content is published, right? But miners are not validating that. So now, as a content creator, you don't have to worry about any of that potential nonsense of, well, I did this timestamp and then it was orphaned, in either the cloud chain or the Bitcoin chain, whichever type of timestamp it is. You don't have to worry about any of that because 90% of the time or more, that's not going to happen. And even when it does, it doesn't prevent the block from being accepted. And everyone still knows, well, it was for a fact within the interval of the beginning of the block to when it was published. And in reality, if you did a good an honest proof, even if it was forked, you may even, like, I don't know if they keep a record of orphaned blocks, but people can debate that, like if you pointed to an orphan block as an existence proof from years ago, how valid that particular timestamp would be, or whatever. That, like, do the nodes hold on to those blocks, or does anyone, like, I don't really care about that, but we've basically enabled proof of publication with those few simple minor consensus rules. And then, given that you're following all the other rules, you're gonna have like a pristinely accurate record, right? Which can't be changed, right? You have proof of publication. So even if you have a fucking timestamp that gets orphaned, you always still have the proof of publication that it was in that block, and cloud chain miners are still attesting to a range of time that is less specific, right? You're just kind of cleaning that up with your own timestamps. And you could still, deduce certain things. Well, I'm referencing someone else who had a valid timestamp in another identity blockchain in this particular reference. So even though it became invalid, you know, it came after this time and so on and so forth. So it works. And it's much better for a few reasons, one of which being that, you know, if you had to worry about a reference, is timestamp becoming invalid? Like, you'd have to worry about that for literally all of them in the old way of thinking. And then it's like, well, I just had a huge conversation where someone was responding to my reference and we had a whole chain of replies, right? And then up, you know, the proof became invalid and I want to have a valid block, and me keeping it here is going to prevent me from doing so. So then you have to delete that original reference, which had all these replies to it. Now, in reality, is that the worst thing in the world? No, it's like on Twitter, where you reply to someone, you have this great conversation, and then a day later you realize, oh, they deleted the original tweet, and it says tweet deleted, right? So, not the end of the world, but if you had to worry about that happening frequently, like as someone who's responding to a content creator, it's kind of annoying. So you're kind of eliminating that whole aspect, at least unless they're like willingly deleting it, obviously, until the block is published, there is, you know, it's still temporary, it's not immutable in the chain, but at least not for that reason, they're not going to be deleting it, you know, because of an potential, because a timestamp goes invalid. So you have root keeping the miners in check and their timestamps honest, and you have the miners in a way keeping root in check with that timestamp rule with his clout-based reference, although it's really the game theory that has him doing all of that. And then you have the market, you know, keeping everyone in check, right? And you know, you have this beautiful proof of publication that arises from the miners simply validating these few simple rules, right? And no, none of the other stuff goes away. It's still there. You have this notification system and all that, but the miners don't care about that, right? Mining nodes, they doesn't matter to them that they know this transaction has a, you know, encoding op this operturing transaction has a like encoding prefix to it. Like, it's just not important for miner consensus. So you're still gonna have all that, and just regular nodes will determine, will likely determine, you know, they don't really have to. You could just build other software on top of the node, which decodes those notifications, right? But it works. It works. I think it works. We'll see. Gonna think about it more. Was there anything else? I think we're gonna probably wrap it up there. All right, guys, peace out.